Good morning. The so-called anti-weaponization fund is no more, as the DOJ bows to pressure from Republican lawmakers. But as Reuters explains, Trump's new pick to lead the intelligence agencies has kept tensions with his party high.
Mr. Pulte's single major qualification for being named by the president appears to be his loyalty to the president.
And tonight, it's an NBA Finals rematch years in the making. It's Wednesday, June 3rd. I'm Gideon Resnick in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. It took just over 2 weeks for a massive reversal from the Justice Department.
The reasons for the fund is something that President Trump talked about for a long time, which is the fact that there were a lot of people in this country who had their government weaponized against them. The reasons for the fund, I think, remain as important as they were before, but we are not moving forward with the fund.
Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche's remarks at a House committee hearing yesterday brought an end to a short-lived attempt to set up what the DOJ was calling an anti-weaponization fund.
Not moving forward ever.
Correct.
Oh, there's no more fund then.
Well, to the extent there was a fund, and remember, the fund wasn't set up yet. There were no commissioners named. There was no claims made yet. So yes, we're not moving forward with the fund.
The roughly $1.8 billion fund emerged from President Trump's lawsuit settlement with the IRS. It was billed as a way to offer payouts for people who claimed that they had been prosecuted for political reasons. A federal judge recently blocked its implementation, and it received unusually fierce pushback from Republicans who worried the fund would have paid out money to people who had been convicted and later pardoned as part of the January 6th riot at the Capitol. But another controversial part of the IRS settlement would be staying, Blanche confirmed yesterday. The deal that he signed off on prevents any audits into the past tax returns from the president or his family. House Democrats accused Blanche of a conflict of interest and suggested the agreement gave the president a form of immunity.
It's not immunity. Okay, so it's not immunity. What it says is, like, anytime the IRS settles with an individual taxpayer or another company as part of the settlement, it's standard, it's typical to get rid of past ongoing audits. It's not a forward-looking document. It's nothing that gives any sort of immunity in the future to the president or his family or his organizations. And so by you saying that, it's not true.
The administration's retreat on the fund marked a rare moment where Senate Republicans stood up to the White House and the White House blinked. A number of them had said they refused to advance a major immigration bill without big changes to the fund. Earlier in the day, Senate Majority Leader John Thune said that he had been assured that the fund was definitely on the way out. But he cautioned that there would still be work to do to get the immigration bill over the line.
We're still continuing to have conversations with our members. I think, as I've conveyed to you before, everything comes down to a function of math. It's, do we have the votes? Do we have 50 votes to execute on getting a bill like that across the floor? Because we have to have Republicans hanging together in order to do that.
Politico reports that it's not an entirely done deal yet. Some Republican senators still had some follow-up questions, but if issues can get resolved in time, there could be a vote on the immigration bill as soon as Wednesday. At least one of those senators, Tom Tillis, said that he wants to introduce an amendment to ensure that the fund can never come back in the future. He's gone from being the housing regulator to the highest-ranking intelligence official in the country. But President Trump's decision to appoint loyalist Bill Pulte to the role of acting director of national intelligence is already facing plenty of scrutiny. As head of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, Pulte drove mortgage fraud investigations into opponents of Trump, including Fed Governor Lisa Cook and Democratic Senator Adam Schiff. None of his probes amounted to successful criminal charges, and critics accused him of pushing baseless accusations for political reasons. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer described him as, quote, a partisan thug. Now some GOP senators, especially those on their way out, are also questioning why a man with no intelligence experience would be chosen to oversee the vast bureaucracies of the CIA, the National Security Agency, and a host of other agencies. Yesterday, the departing Republican Senator Bill Cassidy said Pulte did not seem qualified.
He doesn't have an experience in intelligence. He doesn't have an experience in the military. It's not clear that he has a security clearance. Now, I may be wrong, but that's just what I'm hearing from colleagues who are expressing concern.
That view was shared by John Cornyn, the Republican senator who recently lost a Texas primary to a Trump-backed challenger. And the retiring Senator Tom Tillis criticized Pulte's mortgage probes as a, quote, waste of time and money. The DNI role came about in the wake of 9/11, to better coordinate the work of agencies in the intelligence community, including the CIA and NSA.
It has been, since its creation, supposed to have been and has sought to act as an impartial coordinator of intelligence.
Jonathan Landay is a national security correspondent with Reuters. He explains just how unusual Pulte's appointment was.
The law that created the Director of National Intelligence requires that the nominee have extensive experience in national security issues. Bill Pulte is the founder of a private equity firm. He comes from a family that had a business or has a business, the Pulte Group, in constructing residential developments.
The current occupant, Tulsi Gabbard, was a combat veteran and served on House intelligence committees. She also proved to be controversial, backing efforts to relitigate Trump's 2020 loss to President Biden and accusing President Obama of being implicated in a, quote, treasonous conspiracy.
A lot of critics, Democratic senators and former senior intelligence officials have accused her of using her position and the agency that she runs, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, as part of the retribution machine that President Trump has been using to go after his perceived political enemies.
The White House denies this and says it was previous administrations who politicized intelligence through their investigations into Trump. The president posted that Pulte had what he called deep experience in managing the most sensitive matters in America from his housing role. Pulte can remain in his post as acting DNI for 210 days before needing Senate confirmation. That might be a tall order. Speaking to reporters, Senate Majority Leader John Thune declined to support him, telling reporters that, quote, we don't need a weaponized DNI. The New York Knicks and the San Antonio Spurs face off in the NBA Finals tonight in a rematch from 1999.
The San Antonio Spurs have won their first NBA championship.
It's the Knicks' first trip back to the finals since losing that game. And to pull it off this time, they'll have to go through the French phenom Victor Wembanyama, who anchors the Spurs. If you haven't seen him play, he's a huge court presence at 7'4", though some have speculated that is even underselling it. Many consider him the next NBA megastar, and Associated Press national sports writer Tim Reynolds is one of them.
I think what we've watched in these playoffs is a young man go from star to superstar to possibly even icon.
Reynolds spoke with us about the strengths that each team will bring to the court, and for the Spurs, it's unsurprisingly all about Wembanyama.
He's the best defensive player in the world. He has shown so many times in these playoffs that when he wants to be dominant on the offensive end, he chooses to be that as well. He has met every moment.
He's only 22 years old, part of a Spurs roster that is quite young, but pushing themselves through hard battles in the playoffs.
I love the toughness of their guards. Devin Vassell, Stephon Castle, these guys are playing so much older than they are.
Wembanyama acknowledged yesterday that many of the Knicks players have been at this longer.
It's a great team, you know. It's a great team of experienced guys who are not here by chance, but by relentless effort over the years.
Reynolds said that effort has resulted in a huge wave of confidence for the Knicks right now.
There's never been a stretch in 80 years of NBA basketball where a team has won 11 consecutive games by more points, regular season or playoffs, than what the Knicks are doing right now.
They are led by Jalen Brunson, an MVP-caliber point guard who spoke to the media yesterday about the level of intensity and focus that brought the team here.
When it came to the games, we kept getting better and better. And so I think our mentality is in the right place at the right time. And we just got to stay focused and keep learning.
These teams took two very different paths to the finals. The Knicks swept the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals, so they got more time to rest heading into this series. Whereas the Spurs are coming in after a knockdown, drag-out seven-game series against the defending champs, the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I think from the Knicks' standpoint, there's going to be a clear sense of urgency to take advantage of this stage. For the Spurs, because so many of them are so young, I wonder if it will be creeping into their heads, you know, we're here, we've made it, this is going to be the first of many for us. I wonder if they'll have that same urgency. I still think the Spurs will win the series. I just think there's something about this team, and that's why I give them a slight edge. I say Spurs in seven.
And to a few other stories we're following. A man convicted for participating in the January 6th insurrection is now working inside the Pentagon, doing counterterrorism work that involves highly classified government information. That's according to exclusive reporting by The Washington Post, who spoke with sources close to the matter. Elias Irizarry will work in an office that oversees operations like embassy security, personnel recovery, and hostage rescue. Or as insiders put it to the Post, some of the most complex and dangerous environments the Pentagon operates in. Irizarry was 19 years old when he participated in the attack on the Capitol. He pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge and later apologized for his role before being pardoned by President Trump. He did not respond to the Post's requests for comment. Staying in Washington, Secretary of State Marco Rubio publicly testified in Congress yesterday for the first time since the war in Iran began. He outlined what the administration was looking for in an eventual deal with Iran, saying the regime needed to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and commit to future talks on its nuclear program before the U.S. would lift a blockade or ease financial sanctions.
Any sanctions relief is condition-based, which means it has to be in return for the reason why those sanctions were put in place in the first place, which is their nuclear program.
He also said that the new supreme leader is increasingly engaged on negotiations, though there remain tensions within the regime. And Rubio said the bureaucratic layers involved in Iran's decision-making was slowing the process down. He is set to continue testimony today. And finally, it was a drug designed to help people lose weight, but it's now potentially also altering their brains. The Washington Post has an interesting look at scientists examining the impact of GLP-1s on the brain. A University of Colorado study that looked at brain scans of women who had taken GLP-1s found an increase in brain regions that are involved in attention and processing important stimuli. One leading theory as to how and why this is happening is that the drugs might target inflammation in the brain. And while the studies are in their early phase, scientists say it could mean that GLP-1s might eventually help with things like cognition and addiction. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the news app right now, we've got a narrated article coming up next. Bloomberg Businessweek reports on the remarkable turnaround for bookseller Barnes & Noble and how its new CEO rescued the chain by ditching corporate rules. If you're listening in the podcast app, you can follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And we'll be back with the news tomorrow.